Thank God. Well, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 John 5. Last week we spoke a little bit on the life of God, and we're going to talk more about that tonight. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 9. All right, so it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. Notice that. This is not what we're talking about, but it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. How many people, they think they have a choice whether or not to believe? We do have a choice. But when it says that people don't receive the witness or the testimony that God has given of his Son, they make him a liar. They're basically saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not true. People do it every day, and sometimes they don't realize what they're doing, that they're rejecting the testimony of God to his Son, saying, this is my Son. He came to die for us. And every man on this face of the earth has a choice to reject or accept that testimony that God has given. Verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, or that you may have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So notice verses 11, 12, and 13. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So if we have the Son, we have life. All right, you may have... There's a story of a man who had a portrait painted of his son, and his son passed on and died. And this man was an art collector, and he had many high-priced, expensive, exquisite paintings in his collection. And so after his son died, he held an auction. And many people came, and they were ready to bid on some of these really high-priced paintings. And the first one they put up was this portrait of the man's son. And they started the bidding. And there was hardly any bidding on it. I mean, people were just looking, basically, and you could start to hear the murmurs in the crowd. People were saying, bring out the real stuff. Let's get past this. Bring out the rest of the paintings. Bring out the real. We're here to get the collectors. But they stayed and were waiting for people to bid on it. And finally one man, said, I'll bid, $100 or whatever. And nobody else was bidding. They're like, just close down the bidding. Get on. And finally they said, sold to this man. And then they started taking everything down. And people were saying, what's going on? And they said, the auction's over. What do you mean the auction's over? He said, the person that bought this, whoever has the son, this painting of the son, gets everything else. And they gave all the paintings and everything to the person that bought the picture of the son. And that is just like our God. People are wanting riches. They're wanting, and God is not against us having riches. He wants us well taken care of. Health, relationships, but they're seeking them all. They're saying, let's get on with life. Well, we want this, we want that. And Jesus has already come, and God has a testimony of his son saying, this is my son, and in him is life. If you get the son, then you have life. If you don't get the son, you're done dealing, whether people know it or not. And that's exactly how God has set it up. When we get the son, when we receive him, we get everything. Everything that we need has been given to us. It says over there in 1st or 2nd Peter, all gifts that pertain to life and godliness have been given. Let's turn over there real quick. We'll just come back. But let's just turn over. Hold your finger in 1st John. Go to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Actually, we'll go to verse 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us. Have been. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. See, it's through the knowledge of Jesus and what he's done that we have all things. It's not through the things of this life, all that God created everything this life to enjoy. But you really can't enjoy it unless you have him. He's the life giver. If you don't have him, you can enjoy things to a measure, but not the way he intended us to enjoy him. But it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that's a mouthful. There's a lot here. But notice what he's saying, that by the knowledge of him, we've come to know these promises, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature of God, the life of God, that we may partake of the life of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So through him, we've come in to all the riches and everything that pertains to life and godliness in this life, and being partakers of the divine nature, his life. And we're going to see more about that. Let's turn over back to 1 John real quick. 1 John 5, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. He who has the Son, that's the access point into this life, that God wants every person to be in this life. He doesn't want any person to be separated. That's why he sent his son. But the way to come into that life is through his son. He's the gateway. And by believing on him, we become brand new creatures on the inside and partakers of this divine nature, partakers of life. And so verse 13, he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to wonder about it. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wander around this world and wander through life like we don't have life. He says, I'm writing you these things that you may know that you have life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That we may act like we know. That we can go through this world like we know and not like the world who stumbles around in darkness and doesn't have the life. We have the life of God. We have become partakers of His divine nature. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's turn over to John 5. A couple of these scriptures we read last week, we're just going to recap a little bit before we go on. John 5. John 5, verse 26. God is so good. We have life more than we can really comprehend. We have this life. We are partakers of the divine nature. Through the blood of Jesus, we actually are partakers of God Almighty. We have the nature of God. He made us, He originally created man in His image. Adam fell, but the second man, the second Adam, came to restore everything that Adam lost and more. We're in a new covenant. And we have the life of God inside of us. We are partakers of that life. But John 5, what did I say? Verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. But verse 26, as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. And what did we just read in 1 John? That he who has the Son has life. So the life that's in the Father is in the Son, and because we have the Son, that life is in us. That divine nature is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this really sinks into us, what we're saying here, that the life of Almighty God, think of what that means. We don't know what all that means. We only have a glimpse of what it means. But think of what that means of what we know. Think of Genesis, when God created all these things. He said, light be, and light was, and has kept going this whole time. We don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the details. We just know that the Bible says He created the heavens and the earth, and He created men. If the Bible says it, it's so. And He did all that. He created the planets, solar systems, universes. He created our bodies. He is the all-powerful, almighty. He is the great creator. He is the great engineer. He's the great architect. He has all that power, all that life that put everything into existence. And that life is in us. That divine nature. We don't have the same nature as children of the devil. That may sound harsh, but that's what the Bible calls. Jesus said, you don't know who your father is. Your father is the devil. Well, what does that mean? Those people that have not been adopted into the family of God are still in the family of the enemy. He is their father. And whose nature do they have? They have His. And so did all of us. Before we got born again on the inside, that doesn't mean you couldn't do good things. That doesn't mean certain things couldn't be good about your life. Natural people can have good marriages. You know what? Marriage was instituted before the fall. People in natural can have good marriages if they'll do what God tells them to do. But it won't be like when two people come together and they're centered on Jesus Christ. It won't be to that level. But people can have some good in their life. But they're still in the family of darkness. Their father is Satan. He's Lord. But when we believe on Jesus, something happened. It's not just, oh, now we're just going to go to church and be different the rest of our life. Something happens on the inside that we become a very different person, brand new creation, another demonstration of the life of God, a new creation, new creature, never been seen before, unique. We become something new, and imparted in us is the life of Almighty God, the nature of Almighty God. And that's who we are. Now we've been taken over here. We were in darkness. We've been translated over here into the kingdom of God Almighty. Out of the power of darkness, out of the enemy's power, into the kingdom of light. And in that translation, we didn't just get moved over and then we're waiting for, you know, waiting to leave this earth. Maybe I can sort of get by in this life. Don't know if I can, but I sure hope so. I'm going to try. Just barely get along the rest of this life, but I know when I get through, I have heaven waiting for me, so I'll just hold on to the end. That's not true. We are imparted with the life of God now. When we walk, when we're on our jobs, when we're doing things, naturally speaking, we have the life of God imparted in us, divine nature imparted in us. So we ought not walk like the children of the devil. We may be tempted to. We may be tempted to around people, but certain things are said, and it's so tempting just to say what they say. And it feels good sometimes to say, yeah, I'm having a bum day too. But it can't be true if we are aware of the life of God inside of us. Can't be true. We can yield to that, and we can act like that, but really if we'll just take a hold of what's ours, we won't live there. We won't live where the children of the enemy live. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's just turn over to Colossians real quick before we go on. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1, verse 10. This is what we were just talking about. Thank you, Lord. It says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Let's just back up to verse 9 and just read the start of his prayer. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Notice that. Being fruitful all the time. Sometimes, only when we feel like Superman. When we get up and we feel like, wow, the life of God's in me today, hitting on all cylinders. Those are the only times we're fruitful. No. In every good work, we're supposed to be fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That means we ought to keep going on with Him. We don't plateau and stop and say, well, doing pretty well. Here we go. I know a lot. No, we ought to be increasing all the time till the day we step off into glory. Be increasing in the knowledge of God. All the time. Just keep increasing. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not according to my strength. According that we're going to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and He has delivered us from the power of darkness. See, we were over here. We were in the power of darkness, but he's delivered us and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we're under his rule now. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Look at some of this. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. It says he is the head of the body. Who's the body? We are. And it just got done saying all the things about him and his preeminence. And we just read that he, that life is in him. And we're his body. If life is in the head, how many of you have life in your head and none in your body? If life is in your head, it's still in your body. Your head tells your body what to do, but your body goes where the head goes. And if your head's doing well, your body's doing well. I mean, wherever it goes. Well, Jesus is the head. And he has all life in him, all preeminence. Out of him, everything float, and we're his body. We can't help but be blessed and be partakers of that divine nature. If Jesus is doing okay today, we ought to be doing okay, because we're taking part of his nature, his life, his goodness, his direction. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to John 16 or 6:63. Go back to John. I should have had you leave your finger there. John 6. Read some of these scriptures last week, but we're just hitting some of the ones that stick out before we go a little bit further. John 6:63. John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He didn't even say a little bit. He said it profits nothing. The Spirit gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we've been reading that Jesus, that God, the life of God, the life is in God, the life is in the Son is in us, so the life is in us. And he said his words are life. So we, in the Spirit, what did he say exactly? The Spirit gives life. So we want to say, we just want to stay centered up on him and the fact that his life's in us. How's one way you do that? By continually putting the Word, which is life, in you and recharging you. It is spiritual food. Yes, we've been given the life of God, but how do we stay charged up? We stay full of his Word. Stay meditating on his word. Feed on his word. Because the flesh profits nothing. So don't just go through the motions. It's not about reading scripture, just per se. In other words, setting your eyeball on the page and scanning it down. You could do that for 15 minutes and not get a thing in the world out of it. Because what? Your brain is thinking about something else and you're just doing this rote. Well, if your brain, if it doesn't get from the page through your brain to your heart, your spirit, it's not going to do us any good, because those words are spirit and their life and their nourishment to our bodies, I mean to our spirits. It'd be like taking food and it somehow, you just sloshing it around in your mouth and then spitting it out. It's not going to do you any good. It might taste good for a while. I mean, after a while, that's probably not even going to taste good. But if it doesn't get down in here to your stomach, your body is not going to be able to digest it, turn it into energy, and your body's not going to do anything, right? But you could eat lots and lots of food. You could eat a whole steak. But if you spit it out, or if some, you know, you do other things where it doesn't stay in your stomach, it's not going to help you, right? Well, when we just, sometimes we get religious about stuff. And we start going through things and we have certain, you know, our scriptures. It's good to go over scripture. Man, I have scriptures that I go over nearly every day. Certain things. And you just, it's different for, if God's leading you a certain way and dealing with you along certain lines, there might be stuff you go over once a week. There might be things you got to go through several times a day, depending on where you are in a situation. However God leads us, you take His word and you go over it. But it doesn't do any good if you just go over and say, blah, 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 okay, I'm done. Why doesn't it work? Why isn't it changing me? I don't feel any better. Well, we're supposed to take the word as directed. Take it, get our attention focused on it, let it go and enter our heart. Through our eyes, yes, it's going to go through our natural eyes, but it's going to go, if your mind is blocking it so that it's on something else, it will act as a barrier for it to get into your heart. But if we'll read it, look on it, give it our full attention, then it's like you're taking a spiritual meal. You're eating spiritually, and you get strong that way, and you stay strong. How many know you can be strong, but if you stop eating, you may not feel it right this minute. You may not even feel it tomorrow. I mean, if you have a good steak, something, you could go till tomorrow and not really feel it. But come Friday, you may start feeling it. And even then, your stomach might feel it, but you're not really weak. But you go for a couple weeks, you're going to start getting weak. Stuff's going to start breaking down at some point. And it's such a deception to think that we've gotten full and we've read some word and you feel good. But you can't coast on that forever. We need to put it in daily. And if we'll just keep putting in daily, if we feed our flesh 3 meals a day at least, or more, plus snacks, you know, plus some drinks and things like that, plus dessert and chewing gum and stuff like that. If we do that and the flesh profits nothing, how much more should we feed our spirit? Now, I'm not saying get religious about that either. You could feed your spirit through, or you could read scriptures 3 times a day and it not do you any good either. It's not about rote, you know, just doing things or become somebody else told us to do it. It's getting the word in us. So don't get legalistic. If one day some certain things happen and you're listening on the run, hey, sometimes you eat on the run, right? I'm not saying that's ideal. But sometimes you just drive through McDonald's and grab yourself a Big Mac or whatever and you eat, you still got something in you and you still were okay, right? I'm not saying that's the best, but don't get legalistic to think I have to sit down and do it this way or else I'm not going to get anything from the Word. You know, that's good to have that as a goal and to do certain things, but if it's something, you know, we don't live perfect lives. And if something creeps up on you and it's busy or whatever, and get your word somehow. Look at it as spiritual work, spiritual meat. And if you have to run out the door, make sure you're listening to something. Make sure you get a scripture and meditate on that. Do something. Put something in there. You don't want to make a habit of that, just like you don't want to make a habit of going through the drive-thru or eating on the highway. But just get something and nourish yourself and feed on it. You'll be okay. Really. I mean, like I said, you don't make a habit of stuff, but just make sure, look to God, do what you know to do, and stay full. Stay built up. And you'll stay spiritually strong. And then, you know, just keep going on whatever God is dealing with you to do, to get the word in you. Don't try to take somebody else's method. Don't try to do the way somebody else did it. Take God, whatever God is telling you to do. The scriptures He's telling you to do, the frequencies He's telling you to do, the chapters He's telling you to read, do that. Because He knows what we need. He'll give us good meals. He'll say, well, you need a little bit more iron over here. And He'll show you what you need. Well, you need a little bit more, you know, vitamin B or whatever over here. Well, spiritually speaking, that's what He'll do. He knows what we need. And if we get a good spiritual diet, we'll keep going. But He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:20. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 4:20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." What does that sound like? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. You're looking in their direction. You're giving them attention. You're giving them importance. "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with due diligence," or with all diligence, "for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you." Now there's so much here. Let's go through it again, a little more slowly. "My son, give attention to my words." That's your first thing. You gotta put them before you. If we don't put the words before us, and like we said, it's not just putting them before us superficially, it's putting them before us and feeding on them. "Incline your ear to my sayings." Well, if you don't do this, nothing else is going to get in you. But if we'll do that part, and then what? Do it with consistency. Verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes." Are there days you feel like not reading the Bible? There are days I feel like not reading the Bible. Your flesh doesn't want to read. Your flesh doesn't want to go to church. Your flesh may not want to put on some CD or some teaching you need to listen to. But we need to be diligent. Those are the days we need to take our flesh by the ear and say, "Flesh, it's time for you to come over here and read. Now sit down there, shut up, and start eating, and put this in front of you. It's good for you." Your mom ever tell you, put something before you and said, "Eat. It's good for you. It may be green and leafy, it's good for you." And we all know that our mom or dad was right. The older you get, you know you need to eat that stuff. It's good for you. You can't just eat all junk food and fast food and candy. You end up sick. And so our flesh, given, just left to itself, that's what it would do. It would pig out on everything that it wants to. It wouldn't do anything that it doesn't want to. And that's just the way flesh is. Your flesh is not different. It might look different from my flesh, but it's the same to the core. No matter where you're from, flesh is flesh. Sometimes you just have to say, "Flesh, sit down, shut up, and eat." And you know what is weird about your flesh or funny? When it gets done, even if it didn't want to be there, now it's happy and proud of itself. "Well, I'm glad I did that. That was good. Boy, I have good discipline." Yeah. You ever been exercising and you didn't want to do it, man? You did everything you could to go exercise, but you got done, you feel pretty good. It's like, "Yeah, that felt good." Yeah, it feels good after you get done. You didn't want to go do it. It's the same thing. We've all experienced it. We don't want to go and read the word or something. That's the flesh and the enemy trying to divide us from what's good for us. And you miss a meal, and then you miss another one. And at the beginning, you feel still pretty good, and you say, "I'm okay, man. See, I can miss a few." But what happens is it sneaks up on you, and then something hits you in life, and you're not ready. And that's not to be afraid. This is just the way it is. So we know better, and we can say, "That's not going to happen to me. So right now I can see the symptoms. I can see 4 days down the road. I don't feel like eating right now. This is when I need to eat. So get myself down and put some word into me and look and meditate on the word so that my level is going down a little bit. I just notched it back up." And if I'll be diligent about doing this, not in your own strength. No, we say, "God, help me today." Sometimes it's just one of those days you say, "Lord, help me. I can see this coming. I don't feel like it. Lord, help me and strengthen me by your grace. You show me what to do. You show me how to organize my time so I can get what I need to get in, and I'm going to come out of this day shining, and he'll do it. Man, you say, there's no way. My day is so busy, I don't know how I'm going to get all this stuff done. Don't worry, he knows how to fit everything in. So if we'll just look to him, acknowledge him, and say, God, I don't see how to do this, but you do. I'm just going to give it over to you. Lord, help me. Now just start walking. And whatever you feel like to do next, you may have to shuffle your schedule around, do it. And be diligent about doing it. And he said, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That just gives me a picture of it's always around. You're not letting it get a low level. You're just always keeping something around. Man, you just want to be not just a little bit over level, so I feel pretty good. You want to be strong and pumped up. Remember talking about the life of God. That life, you're aware of the life of God. You know it. You're aware of that divine nature, and you just walk around and you have momentum. It might take a little while for a locomotive to get going, but once that locomotive's going there, it's hard to stop. We just want to be like that. We're just going to keep pumping and pumping and pumping, and then stuff comes up in life and we mow it over. It says, verse 22, why? For they are, what are? The words of God are life. What did we read earlier? His words are spirit and they are life. We keep pumping those words in us. What are we doing? We're filling our tank up. We use a little bit of gas, we fill it back up. We just keep filling it up, and we stay so full of the life of God, it's just oozing from us. Problems come up, we got so much life and so much divine nature, no problem. No problem. I can handle that. We find ourselves, if we're having a hard time speaking faith, and we find negative stuff wants to come out, a lot of times, try to just focus on, well, I don't want to say that, don't want to say that. We need to sometimes fill ourselves up more. The problem is, that's an indication our tank's empty. That we need to fill it up. We need to get it full so that the things that are coming out of our mouth are just the life of God. Boy, what? There's this problem? Yeah, but God said this. So I'm seeing myself come over it. And then another thing happens. Yeah, but God said. And we start seeing that life ooze out of us. We're aware of the life of God. Because he said these words are life to those who find them, and their health to all our flesh. The words are health to all our flesh. If we stay full of that life of God, that life of God is on the inside of us. But if we're conscious of it, that means we're drawing on it. The power plant's there, but we're making a pull. We're drawing on that life. It's feeding our body, giving life to our body, giving life to our minds, quickening our body. We're walking around so aware of that life of God, it's just charging every fiber of our being. And make no mistake, you see it over and over in the Word, where the life of God overcame physical circumstances. People that were dead, people that, you know, had problems in their body, people that were covered with leprosy, the life of God just overcame it. In a second, in a fraction of a second, just changed everything. You saw people that had been crippled for years and years be transformed to where their bones and their muscles became strong in an instant. The life of God just overcame it all and changed them. Well, how much more if we'll just stay full of it to where it is just, we're drawing on it all the time, walking around, the life is in me. His Spirit is in me. The Son of the living God is in me. I am walking with the power plant of Almighty God inside of me. Body, you are just drawing from that. And if we meditate on that, this is a prescription for divine health right here. Give attention to my words and keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep pumping them in, because they're life and they're health to all our flesh. And what does he say? Keep your heart with all diligence. That means don't let things in the side. You just know that everything is flowing. He says in the next phrase, for out of it, out of what? Your heart, your inner being, spring the issues of life for the body. So out of that inner life, spring all the issues of outer life. So this is important, is what he's saying. Don't be slack about this. Sometimes we get so caught up with certain things in life and they don't amount to anything. You know, you could spend a whole bunch of time on something that didn't amount to anything. You know, somebody said, you just put all the big things in first and then you see what room's left over, you put on the medium things and then the smaller things and smaller things, and whatever gets done with the smallest things, that's what gets done. But you take care of the big chunks first. This is a big chunk. I'm telling you, if we'll put God first, I mean, what time you spend with God is up to you, as far as it does not have to be first thing in the morning. It's always first thing in the morning somewhere in the world. So if it's 10 o'clock at night here, you know, in the Philippines, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, one whichever way, if the next day or the previous day. It's, don't get hung up on stuff. Some people say, oh, you have to do it first thing in the morning. No, you don't. No more than you have to date your spouse at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's a relationship. It's a two-way relationship. You work that out with God, what works for you. But if we just do it consistently, then don't be legalistic about it. Hey, I can catch up with my wife when we're driving in the car. It doesn't have to be sit down at the dinner table. We can catch up with God whenever. He can administer life whenever. I'm not advocating that we're sloppy. I'm just saying don't get legalistic about it. Because the devil will entertain you that way. Well, you didn't do it this way, so you're not going to be ready for your day. And here you are. You can be stolen from the whole day because you didn't do something right, when the fact is you're full. He'll trip us up. He's crafty. He's a slick sucker. But we don't have to be ignorant. And so if we'll just stay full, just know that God's a person and He loves us. And just like you'd interact with another person, we don't have to get over religious about it. We're just wanting to put His words in us and say, God, I know. Basically, it comes down to this. God, You are life. Your life's in me, and I want to keep it that way. Not that I'm going to lose the life, but I don't want to get to the point where I'm losing sight of the fact that that life's in me. Because you can. You can have the life in you and not do anything about it because your mind has drifted on other things. I'm not going to get that way. God, You are life. I need You. I know that. I'm going to keep it that way. And I'm going to stay so full of the Word and so focused on the Word that's all I see. So when I see problems, I say, yeah, but in the light of the life of God. So it's nothing. And I see another thing come up in you know, my household or work or whatever. Yeah, but I have the life of God in me. This is nothing. And we stay so much in there that we just steamroll life. That is not too good to be true. We can stay there. And we can just stay on top of the situation. He said, it's health to all our flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Just and half the battle is up front. Like we said, if we'll just keep focused and stay on and stay full of the life of God, and then we just watch the life of God come out of us, the words of God. And if we're tempted, you know, somebody cuts us off or something happens or somebody says some word, if we're tempted to let it come out of your mouth, I'm telling you, if we're full of the life of God, we'll be able to stop it that much easier. Say, it's not worth saying anything to you. Oh, God bless you. You're focusing on the wrong thing, which is why you just said something ugly to me. Because you're not conscious of the fact that the life of God, if they're a Christian, is in you, or you don't know what Jesus has done for you. So I'm going to watch, I'm going to keep that out of my mouth, and I'm just going to focus on the fact that the life of God is in me. And I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to stay built up, and I'm just going to keep on chugging down the road of life. Amen. Just being conscious of that, and staying conscious of that, and staying conscious of that. We don't ever have to have a down day. Did you know it? Never. That sounds like, oh, you're just a pie in the sky now. No, it's true. It's true. If all hell's breaking loose, God's still on the throne, the life of God's still in us, Jesus is still our Savior, we can say, I still am going to have a good day right now. Never an excuse to start letting in and say, oh, I just don't have any hope. Nope. He's with us. He's for us. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful that you're with us, that you're for us even right now. God, you're with everybody within the sound of my voice, Lord, that you are for them. If they're Christians, God, anybody that would listen to the recording or listen on CD, Lord, if they're Christians, the life of God is with them right now in any situation they're in right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. The life of God. The life of God is with us here. The power of the living God is equal and more than equal to any situation that we could ever face. The wisdom of God, His life, show us what to do. He knows what to do. And He's able and He's willing to work on our behalf. Hallelujah.